Hello everyone and welcome to The Stage Place, the podcast where we here chat to those who make the work of theatre from behind the scenes, from writers to directors, producers to designers, and I am delighted on today's episode to be sharing with you my interview with Sarah Cameron West, the writer and performer of Karen, which, before heading to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year in 2024, playing at the Underbelly in Cowgate, Karen is having a preview run at the Other Palace in London, which, if you are listening to this episode at the time of release, is happening next week from the 19th until the 24th of March 2024. I absolutely loved having a chat with Sarah to talk all things Karen. Did you know that this production started as a 10-minute piece performed at the White Bear in London? Well, you'll find out more about that 10-minute piece, as well as how Sarah has managed to expand that into a full show, as we delve into the interview right now with Sarah Cameron West on episode 139 of The Stagey Place. Hello, Sarah, and welcome to The Stagey Place. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you, Elliot. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really good, thank you. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on. Sarah, today we are talking about Karen, which is a show that has had quite a lot of development. I know that you've done it in previous years, and you were up in Edinburgh last year at Greenside doing the show, and very excitingly you are heading back to Edinburgh Fringe this year in 2024 to do the show in Underbelly Cowgate for the whole month, which is very exciting. And before that you've also got performances at the Other Palace as well in London, which is very exciting. Sarah, tell me how you're feeling at this stage about everything that is going on with Karen happening this year.
Oh, well, that's a great question. Really, it feels like a massive whirlwind that's going full tilt. I'm having the most amazing time, though. It's a show I'm really proud of, and I've got a wonderful team behind me. So I took it up to the Edinburgh Fringe in 2023, and it was really just to test it out, see if it had legs and could stand on its own. And I was so pleased when I came back to London that I started approaching some theatres, and the Other Palace were really keen to have it do a transfer to there. So we've just been getting the ball rolling really for that since October 2023. Yeah. These things take, you know, a while to get going, but thank goodness, because you've got to get so much arranged. I was very lucky to also go up to Birmingham to the Old Joint Stock. I just got back from that last week, and that was tremendous. And that's the first time I've done the full run of it. So it was really dusting off the cobwebs with some new materials, yeah, some new light, set, sound. I'm really excited. All the bells and whistles. And then, yes, just building up to the Edinburgh Fringe 2024 for the Underbelly, which I'm over the moon about. I'm so excited to be there for that month.
It is really exciting. I know you said obviously last year it was kind of just dipping your toes in the water to see what Edinburgh is like. And we were talking before this recording as well about you going to different venues as well to kind of have an idea of where Karen could go, or any of your other material, you know, kind of the spaces of what to look out for in the future. So Sarah, what we must talk about is the origin of Karen and where this show came from. So can you tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind writing the show?
Of course. Well, it's sort of funny really, because I wrote Karen as just a little sketch on my notes app one day in 2021. I just graduated from the Drama Centre London, just coming out of COVID, feeling quite isolated as an actor, especially a young grad, really didn't know where to start, and agents not really that interested in signing, just because it was so tough at that point. So I was thinking about putting out some of my own material, because you can really drive yourself crazy just waiting around for someone to give you an opportunity. So I just started writing it as a little sketch on my notes app. I always just found it quite funny how you can have a one-sided conversation and see where that could go. Could you really hear what the other person says? Could a story be built from that? And the production company, Velvet Smoke, had a monologue competition called Project Passion that they were putting on at the White Bear in Kennington. And the finalists got to perform their piece in that. So I submitted Karen for that. Yeah. Really didn't really think much about it, because I'd never written comedy properly. I sort of dabbled a little bit with it during lockdown, trying it out, but didn't really have much faith in my comedy at that point. And I was over the moon when they said they'd love to have it at the White Bear. So I did a one night only debut of Karen, and it was only 10 minutes. And funnily enough, it's the final 10 minutes of the show, which is sort of a strange way around to do it. It's actually the most nervous I've ever been, Elliot, before going on stage, because it's exposing enough doing a solo show because you've got no one to help you if you mess up. But to do something that's your own writing is doubly exposing. And then I suppose triply so is that you think it's funny.
Yes.
And the hope is that you hope that other people find it funny. But luckily, it went well, thank God. And I was encouraged by Velvet Smoke to turn it into a one-woman show. 2022 sort of rolled by. I had it on the back burner. And 2023, I realized I needed to get it off the ground and thought, you know, why didn't I go to the Fringe? But it was a very last minute decision. And I sort of thought, oh, there's just no way. No one will have a slot free. It's like April. There's no chance. And I think the origin for Karen really happened because I got the deadline of the Fringe. Greenside was so wonderful. They said, you can't believe it. Someone's just dropped out of the 7:30 p.m. slot at Riddles Court. Do you want it for 2 weeks? And I said, all right then. So booked in my slot in April, got that all organized and went, right, well, I've got to write it now. And so I just took May to write it. And because I'd done the last 10 minutes, I essentially just worked it back in the story. And a lot of what I said in that final 10 minutes, no spoilers, but the show does start with her getting dumped at Alton Towers, midway through Lippo on her birthday. And I say that in the end, and there are little things that I say. And I thought, okay, so I've got to plant the seed now, right back to the beginning where this conversation started, and who could she speak to, and how could it progress? And I'm so happy that it wasn't too painful a process, because writing really can be trying to get blood out of stone sometimes, staring at that blank page. But I'm very lucky. I have a wonderful director. She's so much more than a director. Evie Ayres Townsend. She's a creative facilitator. She's someone that I can bounce ideas off. She is completely on my wavelength. My connection to her was a total fluke, really, because she was the director from the 10-minute monologue that I did, and they paired me with her without meeting either of us before. They thought that would be a nice pairing. And here we are, 3 years later, ready to go.
It's really exciting talking about the origin of this then, because like you're saying, the 10 minutes that you showed at White Bear is essentially the last 10 minutes of the full length play. So when you were originally doing that 10 minutes at the White Bear, you were saying that Velvet Smoke was like, let's create a whole production out of this. So when you created those 10 minutes, was that kind of how you just wanted it to be, a 10-minute monologue? Or did you always have the idea that you were always going to expand it into a full-length play?
Not at all. Not at all. I really thought it was going to just be a blip of this is a 10-minute little sketch that I've written, and that's all it will be. So the fact that they gave me the confidence to go, no, you just push that a little bit, see where it could go, really gave me the confidence to go, well, I'll try it then. And I think also what gave me the spark to do it was I started developing more of my own writing. I set up a production company called Any Second Now with my business partner, Lucy Nicholson, because we started writing a TV series called Jack and Jill, which is a comedy TV series about two female leads. So I think I was really starting to hone my voice, the tone of the writing I like to make, tone of the shows I like to make. And we started putting on sketch nights. Called It Takes Two, and very similar to what Velvet Smoke did, just did these duologues, always two people, 10-minute duologues on the theme of relationships. You could write about whatever you like, relationships to any degree, romantic, platonic, whatever. Being around other writers, other young creatives, just trialing things out. I think took away that fear of, oh gosh, it has to be perfect and has to be the perfect thing when you first start writing it, and it doesn't. So Karen stayed on the back burner and I started honing my voice, honing what I wanted to say. And so by the time I was ready to kind of open that book again, I was much more equipped. And so is Evie. Evie had gone off to direct other things. So we'd really grown as creatives when we came back together. So it was a really a pretty much a flash decision in April to go, okay, now I'll make it a one-woman show and I'll take it to Edinburgh, I guess. There was a discussion that I would do it as a double bill with another one-woman show. But actually, I remember having a great conversation with my mum and she just goes, oh, for God's sake, Sarah, if you're going to do it, just do it properly. Okay. So I definitely could have put more restrictions on myself. Just for the fear of, oh no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. But actually, just sometimes jumping in feet first and see where it goes. I'm so grateful for that kind of leap of faith because it got me to write a full show and be able to take it somewhere. Because I think had I done the double bill, I would have learned all that I'd learned, but I'd be taking up now it again for the first time and probably would have gone, oh no, maybe I shouldn't go for a big venue. I don't know. Whereas now I think it gave me the confidence to go, if you don't ask, you don't get, so go for it.
And like you were saying there, as a first-time comedy character writer, those first 10 minutes that you had at the White Bear must have been so daunting, like you said, because you don't know what the reaction is going to be like from the audience. So like you were saying at the beginning of this interview, you've recently been at the old Joint Stock in Birmingham with new material, new lights, new set and stuff like this. So even when you had the show on in Edinburgh last year and any preview performances that you may have had leading up to that, when you then showed that full piece, now that you're saying that there's new material for the show, was there something in the run last year that you just felt you had to hone even further within the character and within the story itself that people who maybe saw it last year at Greenside and came to see it again this year might see something a little different?
Yes, I think so. I think what's so gorgeous about Edinburgh is you get to show it to a new audience every day. And that, as a performer, is so exciting, especially as when you're doing a solo piece, everybody's reaction is different. Sure, there are maybe some bits where you go, that always does get a laugh, or that always gets a, and that's really fun. But it really catches you off guard sometimes. And I think the thing with Karen is it interacts directly with the audience in the show. So you always get a different flavor and energy every time you put it on. So trial and error last year to keep seeing what landed, what didn't. And also as a performer, what I started to change just naturally and go, that line doesn't flow as well as I wanted to. I'm going to change it to this. And does that work? So it was a really great sort of testing ground laboratory almost. So when I finished, I thought, okay, great. I've got the skeleton, I've got nuts and bolts. And having seen so much other material up at the fringe, I thought, oh, wow, you know, lights can really transform a whole piece, or an amazing soundscape can really immerse you in it. And my set was really plain, mainly because I just didn't know what to do. So I just had four boxes and my props. So to talk to and engage other creatives in it is such a beautiful collaborative thing. And it takes this thing that you've made into something bigger and more exciting and down more avenues. And also what I felt comfortable doing as a performer, like for example, there's a dance sequence in Karen and I'm not the most talented dancer. So I always felt quite awkward at that bit. Now we've come back to the script, Evie and I, and really gone through those lines and go, did that slap? Did it hit what we wanted it to hit? And if it didn't, we just started to rework it, tweak it a little bit. And now I'm so confident and happy with the material. I think it's one of those things that you could always tweak it, always make it better. So yeah, Birmingham were the lucky lot that got to see the first new show and see if it worked. And thank God I got some really nice feedback. It feels like it's just slicker and bigger and shinier. I'm really excited to share it.
So we must talk about where we meet Karen at the start of the show then. Like you said earlier on, she's recently dumped at Alton Towers, right? So where do we go from there?
Okay, well, it's quite an aggressive start, I
Okay.
suppose, an abrupt start, because the audience gets dumped into the action immediately. You witness the breakup, and
Okay.
the poor person sitting directly in front of me when I start
Yes.
becomes Joe,
Okay.
my boyfriend, who is dumping me. So you really go through the whole range of emotions. She's in denial. She's trying to bargain. She's trying to get him back. And you start to hear little things in her rhetoric coming back of, oh, that doesn't sound entirely healthy. And oh, maybe this isn't a healthy relationship. And then from there, it jumps straight into her having a conversation with her friend Stacy, another member of the audience, and she plays it off as if it's not a big deal. She's putting on a show for her friends. And I think, just to recall back to your question, why is it, what have I really honed maybe from the fringe? Is, I think people were asking in these interviews, mainly people are asking, what's the main point of Karen? And it was always a question that kind of stumped me, because I thought, oh, I don't know, it's just a funny show. Maybe that's just all it is. But actually, I think it's all about navigating heartbreak and the denial you can be in, and how you squash down your feelings, and how if you don't process them, they can come out in unhealthy and frightening ways. So, for example, protagonist, the character in the show, she finds the only way she can process her emotion is by getting in the car and driving to the beach and screaming to Slipknot on the radio. That's the only way she knows how to bear it. So yeah, we see her pretending. She puts on a mask for Stacy. And so you're thinking she's been dumped on her 30th birthday. And without giving too much away, she goes on this journey of self-discovery, and the finale is a cathartic finale about how our protagonist finally finds her voice. She stands up for herself, and I think she realizes that the path to healing lies through tackling her emotions head on, not avoiding them, not squashing them down. For her to have real peace, she needs to acknowledge how she feels, which, if you're not someone particularly combative, or you're like, oh, it's fine, I'll just deal with it later, and you never deal with it, it just baggage that you carry with you. So that, I suppose, is the main message of the show, is speak your truth, deal with your emotions, I guess. So yeah, it's a sweet story of watching someone really try their best to deal with a breakup when they're devastated and things couldn't be worse, and how they get through that, and they learn about self-acceptance and kindness to themselves. And also, the discussion that kept coming up is about rage and female rage, and can anger be a good emotion? Can it be cathartic? We all feel it. And I'm of the opinion that without threat of violence, crucially, that it can be a very cathartic feeling. It can really galvanize you and lead you to feel a bit of relief if you just let it spill over. If I play it right, it's always a nice moment when the audience are invested in the story and they go, it's my favorite when I say something in particular. There's one line and the audience goes, go
Hey.
on. And that's if I played it right, that they're all on her team, and it's a really lovely moment. So that's kind of the journey, processing her heartbreak.
And that last bit of the show then, that line that you say there is maybe a callback or something that the audience really get behind with the character. Is that the thing that you look forward to the most in terms of audiences' reactions to the show?
Oh, that's such a good question. To be honest, because every scene is so starkly different in a way, it feels like just opening up a little lovely chapter, and I just can't wait to share each segment with the audience. There's always something I love in every scene, which is such a treat. I suppose when you write it yourself. You get to put all your favorite bits in and what you love to perform. So there's anger, there's sadness, there's awkwardness, there's cringe, and opening each little chapter, mini scene to share that with the audience is always so fun. I think there's one, to be honest, now the dance scene is now probably one of my favorite because I've added in a song that just is really good fun. I think that's the other thing. Bringing in music was really important for me. Music that everybody knows and can sing along to, because I think it just injects scenes with so much life. I'll give you a little preview, but the song is Man Eater by Nelly Furtado. I think it really just transforms that scene. But yeah, it's so interesting. It really depends per performance, which ends up being my favorite. But to be honest, if I hit all the notes I want to hit, it's a joy for me from start to finish. And it feels a real privilege to get to share that with an audience.
And I guess in a way, it's one of these shows where I guess everybody would love to have a huge audience. But obviously, as we know, as we're going into the Edinburgh Fringe, it may not necessarily be like that. You know, I know when I did Edinburgh last year, we were talking before this recording, I was also in Underbelly Cowgate at the very top in the belly button. We never necessarily had huge audiences every single performance. But having a smaller audience who are so compelled to the performance and, you know, you really get them under your wing and stuff like that is super important, I guess, for you as a performer, not only to have big audiences, but to have audiences who are really with the character the whole way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. It's such a treat. It's lovely to have a big audience. And I was so lucky in Birmingham, it sold out the whole thing. It was the biggest audience I've had. It was like 100 people each night, which was mental. But honestly, to have anyone that's paid money to come and see your show and said, yeah, I'm happy to sit here for an hour and hear you out, I think it's just a really beautiful thing. And I want to come out and put on a show for them every time. Doesn't matter to me if there's one, five, 100. It's just a joy to get to share what I've made with people.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on to talk about Karen. Once again, it is going to have a preview run at the Other Palace in London from the 19th until the 24th of March. This episode will be going out prior to that week at the Other Palace, before then going up to the Edinburgh Fringe this year at Underbelly Cowgate from the 1st until the 25th of August at 3:55 p.m. in the afternoon. Now, Sarah, before I let you go to have the rest of your day, I've got two final questions for you that we ask everybody who comes on to the podcast. The first is about advice that you might have for people listening to this episode who might want to get into the part of the industry that you are in. Now, today, obviously, we've been talking about comedy writing. So, Sarah, what advice would you have for people listening to this podcast who may want to get into comedy character writing? Is that how we'll call it?
Yeah,
Comedy character
absolutely.
writing.
So that's a great question. I think the best thing you can do is just put something on the page and don't judge yourself. It doesn't have to be the funniest thing you've ever written or read right as you start. Just start writing it. What everybody says is, it's not really the writing, it's the rewriting of everything that really transform it. So get something on the page and you're winning. And then get people to read it. See what people do find funny, what they don't. Think about what you find funny and what's specific to you. Are there shows that you like? Are there writers whose career you want to emulate? I think having a kind of clear thought about who your idols are. For me, it's Phoebe Waller-Bridge, it's Sharon Horgan, it's Michaela Cole. I just think they're the bee's knees. I love what they make. I think they make funny, visceral, brilliant characters that you just can't help but adore, even with all their flaws and everything. So I think finding people whose writing style you like and finding your own voice, but most importantly, getting something on paper. And then if you can, try and get it in front of an audience. That's the best. And I really think the best bit of advice I could give is it's always going to feel a bit like a baptism of fire. you're never going to feel ready. So just try and jump in feet first and see what happens. At least then you've been brave and you gave it a go and you'll learn something from it and you'll keep growing from it.
And like you were saying, as a first-time writer as well, we've spoken about it plenty of times in this interview, but having those 10 minutes, obviously, at the White Bear, whether or not it's scratch nights or anything that people can pull it in front of. But like you say, that baptism of fire for you to do those first 10 minutes for your first time writing as a comedy character as well, just going for it is really important, because then at least you get other people's feedback, right? From doing that, from doing that 10 minute slot.
If I'd never done that 10 minute slot, I wouldn't be going to the other parts, going to Fringe. I'd never have had the confidence. And I think getting it in front of those people was transformative, showed I could do it, showed that I had something to share that people enjoyed. So I think if you can get into scratch nights, talk to production companies. I can't get in front of these people. God, I know it can be hard. I've done a show in someone's sitting, like living room before, to friends, a 10 people audience, with someone's sister just flicking on the lights on and off, just to show people what I could do. So it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be bells and whistles. Pub theatres are amazing. I can only recommend like amazing ones. The Hen and Chickens in Islington is phenomenal. They're such an accommodating group of people that are dedicated to new writing. So get in touch with them. Find other young writers, split the bill, you know, get five of you together and just put on a scratch night. The Pleasants do scratch nights. See what competitions you can get into and get it in front of an audience, and you're well on your way.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for that lovely piece of advice. I really hope people listening are able to take that on. I've got one final question for you, Sarah, before I let you go this afternoon. It's the title of this podcast. And the question is, whereabouts is your stagey place? So your stagey place could be a venue, maybe, where you've taken Karen, maybe as a scratch or just as a full piece, like we were just saying, at the Old Joint Stock in Birmingham. It can be the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, where you've seen some amazing one-woman shows and able to see other venues that you can take Karen to, or any future productions that you make within your career. Or it could just be somebody that has inspired you throughout your time as a writer or as an actor. So this could be the director that you've been working with throughout this whole time that is also coming up to Edinburgh with you this year. Or it could just be, like we were saying there, Michaela Cole or Phoebe Waller-Bridge or Sharon Hogan. You know, maybe it's someone who's inspired you. So it could be a venue or a person. But for you, Sarah Cameron West, whereabouts is your stagey place?
That's an amazing question. I think there are so many people I admire. And I think I've got to have a bit of a caveat, because I think I'm so grateful to the Hen and Chickens for in Islington, who've given me so many opportunities to share my work. And it's through them that I went to probably, I think I'd have to say my stagey place is the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Because I think it's such a celebration of creative people coming together to share their work, and in every crevice they can find in Edinburgh, just to share and be there. It's my favorite place on earth is Edinburgh in the summer. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. I love being there with my friends, meeting new friends, seeing amazing acts, and you see them in a basement before then they're on the West End. And that's such a beautiful thing to go, I was there when they did that, and I was there when they made that joke. And that's so beautiful. So I'd have to say the Edinburgh Fringe Festival is my stagey place, and I can't wait to go back there.
And I could not agree with you more. It is the most wonderful experience. I first went up in 2015, taking a show up, and I did not know what I was getting myself in for. And it just blew me away. And it's the right definition of a baptism of fire. Like, there's so much going on. Every single day, you're having to pour all that energy out to a brand new audience who need to grapple with your character, you know, whether or not that's the character that you're with in Karen or anyone that I've worked with in Edinburgh. Like, the energy that they bring every single day is unlike any other. And especially when you're doing it throughout the whole month, it blows my mind, having worked with people, just how much people give every single day, but also support others at the Edinburgh Fringe. So the Edinburgh Fringe is an incredible answer to an amazing interview that we've had today, Sarah.
Thank you so much. I've loved being on the show.
Now, thank you so much for coming on. Once again, we have been talking about Karen, which at the time of this episode release, there will be a week's long slot at the Other Palace in London from the 19th until the 24th of March, before you then head up to the Edinburgh Fringe. Once again, from the 1st until the 25th of August at Underbelly Cowgate at 3:55 p.m. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you again. Thank you.
And there we go, that was my interview with Sarah Cameron West, the writer and performer of Karen, which is having its preview run at the Other Palace in London from the 19th until the 24th of March, before playing the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year at Underbelly Cowgate. I'd love to thank Sarah so much for coming on to the Stagey Place. I think we can all agree that was a wonderful chat, and I'm really excited to see the show when it heads up to Edinburgh later this year. If you are listening to this episode though and are able to get the chance to see the show whilst it's at the Other Palace, then please do check out the episode notes, as we will have all the links to all the ticketing information for the show at the Other Palace, as well as the run in Edinburgh. Join us next week on the Stagey Place when we'll have Josie White, the writer of Rotten, which is heading out on its rural UK tour. We've also recently been seeing some fantastic productions around the UK, including Come From Away at Leicester Curve and Shrek the Musical at the Everyman Theatre in Cheltenham. If you'd like to know all of our thoughts on those shows and everything that we go and see here on the Stagey Place, then why not follow us on social media? We're on X, Instagram and TikTok at the Stagey Place. And that's it for this week's episode. So until you'd like to join us next time, my name's Ben Elliott. Thank you for listening. I hope you're keeping safe and staying stagey. Goodbye.